Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Rich Galen is our guest, and I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. Rich is a good friend, a longtime Brain Trust member, the publisher of the outstanding cyber column Mullings.com. He's a former head of communication for Newt Gingrich back when he was the Speaker of the House. He's had a number of other jobs, and mostly he's a self-described political hack. He's our good friend, Rich Galen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Nice to be with you.
Of the Republican persuasion, you spin to the right, right?
I do.
So, Rich, I'm imagining your mother...
Right or wrong, it's still to the right.
I'm imagining your mother talking to my mother, right? And your mother says to my mother, "So, Virginia, it's come to this. Your son's a talk show host. My son's a political hack. Where did we go wrong?" Can't you just imagine, you know, and my mother says, "I know I've asked my son, just give me one thing I can shove under the nose of my friends, you know, just one thing."
Well, my mother has thought that nobody can make a living doing what I do, so I must be a spy.
Yeah. my mother actually said to somebody once, "I don't know what he does, but he must be good at it."
I think that's probably with most small business people, other than those who are retailers that are easily identifiable. I think for most of us, that's right. Probably a conversation I'll bet 80% of us.
Oh, yeah. And the parents, you know, the parents look at each other and say, "Well, it's come to this." Hey, Rich, it has come to this. Here we are at literally the 11th hour of the year, of the moment, to where they have to do something to the tax code, because right. the tax cuts that we were given 10 years ago that are no longer tax cuts, I agree with you, they're now the law of the land. Those things were established to sunset, to expire in about 28 days or something like that, 24 days, yeah. And they're set to expire if they don't do something. And so instead of doing something a year ago when they could have, knowing that this was probably going to happen, now here we are. What's going to happen?
Well, I think they've got the deal. I mean, the Democrats are furious with the president, and Republicans are sort of, you know, clicking their heels and pretending like they know what's going on in the halls of Congress.
Yeah.
But in this case, there were a couple of things that went on. You are correct. Everybody knew that this deadline of December 31st was coming. They knew it in 2003 that December 31st, 2010 was coming. They knew it in 2001. So the point is that the president and the Democrats in Congress, with their huge majorities, could have taken care of the tax issue in February of 2009, mm-hmm. and they kept putting it off. They got tied up in the big expenditure bills. They got tied up in health care, and things just kind of slipped and slipped and slipped. And lo and behold, then they got themselves in a problem with if this was such a good idea. Then why didn't they bring it up just before the election,
mm-hmm.
if this was so good for
why
Democrats?
Why didn't they campaign on this?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, it's a problem of their own making. And the fact is that the elections, even though technically it's still the 111th Congress, we can see the effects of the November 2nd election.
Elections matter, as you have told us many times.
That's exactly right. And then the other thing I really do believe that sort of caught the president and everybody else, not just a surprise, it was a shock, were last Thursday's unemployment numbers. Everybody was thinking 165,000, 200,000 new jobs would be created, and it was 39,000.
Right.
And unemployment went from 9.6 to 9.8.
Yeah.
And that just put the brakes on everything. And I think the president and his advisors in the White House said, "Okay, we can't fool around with this. We can't play chicken with this. We got 2 million people."
Well, President Obama not only disengaged from his left wing of his party, he actually called them names, didn't he?
Yes. Then, where are we now? On Tuesday, the president decided he needed to go out and and make his case in a press conference down in the briefing room. It wasn't a formal East Room press conference, but it's a pretty big deal when the president comes into the briefing room. And my Democratic friend said he is so thin-skinned because he's never had his allies criticizing him. I mean, he's lived. I mean, he is
a charmed life.
He caught the top of a wave when he was in his late teens, and he's been riding that wave. And guess what? Now he hit the shore and he's tumbling over. He's got sand in his eyes.
He's found out
he doesn't like it.
He found out who his friends are, and he's having to pick himself up off the ground by himself. So
now his friends are John Boehner. How bad is that for him?
Or McConnell? So the bottom line is the president basically caved on everything that completely leave the tax rates as they are, as they have been for the last almost 10 years, even for those meanies who make over $250,000 a year.
And not only that, but even for those meanies who have the audacity to die and have estates that are worth less than $5 million.
Right. What are they thinking? What's wrong with them? Where's their
patriotism,
right?
What's wrong with these people? Yeah.
So anyway, so he's giving in on that. And the only thing he got back, as I understand it, in the way of any kind of a quid pro quo, was the extension of unemployment benefits, which he was going to get anyway.
Well, he would have gotten the extension of the unemployment benefits, but only after they found an offset. They needed $50 billion somewhere to offset the cost of those unemployment benefits. And so, but because it's tied up in a tax and budget bill, the offsets don't have to be found, and they won't be found.
So here's the great irony, though, Rich. Here's the great irony in all of this. If they had taken care of this tax business even a year ago, we might not need those extension of unemployment benefits.
Well, I keep saying it's not a matter of extending benefits. It's a matter of finding policies that will get people back to work so they don't need those benefits.
Right.
We got a lot of smart people in Washington. Just ask us.
Yeah.
And you would think that some smart people could get their heads together and say, okay, how are we going to fix this thing? One of the things that I know our listeners understand, and I didn't get to do this on CNN last night, but everybody said this is how much it's costing the government. Okay, two things. One, it's not the government's money; it's our money. So if it's costing anybody, it's us.
That's right.
That's number one. And number two is, let's take the unemployment benefit. Oh, let's take the tax cut. I mean, when people get a tax cut, very few of us actually still put that money in a mattress.
Right.
We invest it, even if we only put it in our checking account.
Every small
that money
business
is back
owner,
in the economy.
Every small business owner reinvests it in their business, 100%. They always do. And by the way, Rich, we never bump you for a better show when you're on our show like CNN and some of those places do. 20 after, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.